It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woohooer, a hand clapper, a high fiver? I kind of like the high five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At chumbacasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses. So don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. VGW. Void or prohibited
by law. See terms and conditions 18 plus. Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kid's PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Stokes flashes it away through the covers for four, and England have won the match.
Hello, welcome to the Analyst Inside Cricket. A tremendous third day at Trent Bridge, certainly if you're an England fan. Anyway, not if you're a bowler. It's a bowler's graveyard, this Trent Bridge pitch, it seems. And a remarkable performance by England today to get nearly 400 runs in a day, just under 380-odd runs, to draw within 80 of the New Zealand first innings of 553. Two centuries, Ollie Pope and Joe Root, and just... The positivity exuding out of English batsmen's paws, Simon, I suppose you would sum it up as?
It's a thrilling day to have a ticket if you're an England supporter. Very early on, and there was a shot from Alex Lees early in the day. We crashed one through the offside. Sort of set the tone for the day, really. A far better day than I think anyone could have envisaged for England. I think we were talking at the start of the day, if England got about 400 for five or six, that was about the limit of a good day for them today. But they've got more than that, and they're just beginning to push towards that New Zealand total. They're only 80 runs behind, still 2 days left. I think you'd say the draw is a pretty sizable favourite, but you can see possibilities. I think more for England now than for New Zealand. It's hard to see New Zealand getting into a winning position unless suddenly the bowlers start to dominate. But you could see England building some pressure on this New Zealand side. You look pretty bedraggled by the end. We saw Jameson go off. Actually, Southie went off briefly towards the end. And, England have got the chance of a first innings lead. It's interesting. I wonder how you think they're going to bat from here. We've still got Root and Folks together, and they're building a partnership. England could get beyond New Zealand. I mean, if they batted really well tomorrow, just keep on going. Lunch beyond into the afternoon session and see where that takes them.
Yeah, I don't see why not. And it's amazing, isn't it, the difference that a 450-plus score can make on a tail that is a little fragile, but when they've got that sort of ballast to come in with, plus ailing bowlers as well, shorn of one main bowler, it's amazing what can be achieved. So I don't think 600 is beyond England's expectations. And, it just shows it's an amazing... If you contrast this performance with England against New Zealand this time last year, where they were cautious and in the end didn't go for a target of 275. And in the second test match at Edgbaston, obviously they lost. And this is such a changed environment, which is born from two new personnel at the top, Brendan McCullum, obviously, and Ben Stokes as captain. And the different attitude, you could say it's just a sort of... it's the same man, Ben Stokes, in the team... Now he's captain, and it's the same man at the heart of the team, Joe Root. But the difference is what I suppose Brendan McCullum has done in terms of freeing up the spirit of the team and freeing up the mentality of Stokes himself and Root as well. And there just seems to be this air of optimism and ambition and energy and enthusiasm and fun in a way. And I'm sure, maybe I was amongst them, people saying you've got to play a bit more cautiously in Test cricket, especially with the New Zealand bowling attack as it is and the seam opportunity at Trent Bridge, the ball kind of doing a little bit and all that. But there was none of that, was there? It was just go for your shots, be a little bit selective, but play your shots, be aggressive, take the bowlers on. Of course, writ large, when Stokes himself came out to bat and was up running up the wicket to the second new ball. But it's amazing what a different attitude can do to a team, really.
Yeah, and a hugely positive day for England today because they were under pressure and they could have flunked it. They could have lost wickets, you know, playing lots of shots. You know, and you look at someone like Alex Lees, who would probably be sitting there this evening thinking what might have been. You know, you saw Ollie Pope, watched on as Ollie Pope made his highest test score. Well, Lees did as well, but you felt there was 100 there for Lees, but he played a big shot on the up outside the off stump and nicked off, and he was out caught a slip by Mitchell. And that was the way England played. And it could have gone horribly wrong. I mean, Joe Root played a cut shot and in that first session and he got a thick edge on it and Southee leapt and couldn't take the catch and it went for four. It was a very difficult chance, actually. It was like a goalkeeper tipping the ball over the bar. So it could have gone wrong for England. They did play their shots throughout the day. I suppose when it was a pitch for playing your shots. I mean, perfect a surface for that because there was some bounce in it. You know, sometimes, you know, in English pitches you see quite sort of slow, low pitches. You know, this one had a bit of bounce in it and a lightning quick outfield as well. So you got full value for your strokes and you could have men out on the boundary. But if you hit it pretty crisply, it zipped across the outfield and you couldn't stop it even on the boundary. You know, it was like having a glass outfield. So that was sort of in the favour of positive cricket. I mean, it has been a fluctuating series. I mean, the first test, England, you know, tried to play positive as well and they had some really dodgy moments. They could have lost that game, might well have lost it, and you know, well documented the Grand Home no ball. And of course, you know, New Zealand did get 553 in their first innings. I mean, normally, I think in the old days, you get 550 in a test match. In fact, if you used to get 400 in a test match, you were safe. But these days, you're not, are you? I mean, well, you know, teams do score a bit quicker, it seems. And this England team do have the chance to put some pressure on New Zealand. I mean, it would be incredible if England were to win the game. I think that's a long way off, but it would be incredible to think about England winning the game when New Zealand made 553 in their first innings.
No, but then again, you think back to isolated examples, but for instance, Adelaide in 2006, yeah. 7 in the Ashes, where England made 550, declared Australia were bowled out about 30 or 40 short, and then bowled England out on the fourth and fifth day, mainly on the fifth day, and knocked off the runs. So it can be done. That was inspired by Shane Warne and his positivity. This time, England are inspired by McCullum and Stokes. And it's funny, actually, just watching Stokes batting today, almost kamikaze. And it reminded me of the way Brendan McCullum sometimes used to bat in Test cricket. I remember a game, I think it was in the 2015 series, when New Zealand arrived and sort of were almost the catalyst for England's reinvention as a one-day side. But that started in the Test series, Lords and Headingley. And I think I remember McCullum coming in at number five at Headingley and playing the kind of innings that Stokes did today. And you just thought, you're not allowed to do that in Test cricket. You're not allowed to run up the pitch to the second new ball, to bowlers, 85-mile-an-hour bowlers, and you know, collar them back over their head into the pavilion or into the stand. You're not allowed to do that. But McCullum did it, and Stokes did as well. In the end, you know, it was sort of a bit, it got a bit over enthusiastic, I think, and perished. But, you know, that kind of message that he sent out, that this approach from England is coming from me, and I'm going to kind of almost take it to the most extreme extent. Admirable, really. You know, it leaves you frustrated, doesn't it, when you see Stokes throwing total caution to the wind, trying to almost smack every ball for six. He's almost in a sort of slog mode, and he perished playing a shot which you thought, well, actually, you should have probably hit that straight instead of trying to slog it over mid-wicket. But it's admirable, really, the approach, and it's fun to watch, isn't it?
Well, it is. I think, that going back to that McCullum innings at Headingley, I think, I just got a vague memory, that he actually hit his first ball for six in that test match.
He might well have done.
I think he did, over deep cover. Anyway, that's a separate issue. It's funny with Ben Stokes today. I mean, it was 46 off 33 balls, and you thought, hold on a second, he's in Cape Town mode here, when he made that incredible 258, and that was what it was like in Cape Town. I've never seen anything like that in all the time I've been watching cricket. I don't think anyone has. It was just foot on the accelerator throughout the innings. That was one of those days when it was disappearing and everything was going. And today, I think the crowd were a bit disappointed, actually. It was a cameo from Stokes, only 33 balls, and it was exciting while it lasted. But he decided that Bracewell had to go. Every ball had to go, and he did him for six. And he went against the spin. I agree with you. I wonder whether he should have just gone down the ground again, but he went against the spin, and there was some spin. Bracewell does give a bit of a rip, and he miscued it out to Trent Bolt deep mid wicket, and it was sort of tantalising. It was great while it lasted, and I think there'll be people, might have been people going, oh, why did he play that shot? He didn't need to attack every single ball, but only because they just wanted to see more of it. I think they felt a bit cheated that here's the possibility of one of the, I don't know, possibly even one of the quickest hundreds in Test cricket if he kept on going. But you to get that, of course, you've got to take a risk, and Stokes did today. And he walked off and he head back, oh, what have I done? But that sort of thing is going to happen if you play in that way, six fours and two sixes. And what was interesting then, actually, is once he was out, Root and Folks sort of changed gear, and Root definitely changed gear, and he was sort of playing the situation and thought, right, we've got to just regroup here, make sure we don't concede a sizeable first innings lead, because that could have happened. And Folks, they're gradually piecing together another valuable partnership. What do they put on now? 68 already for the sixth wicket. And New Zealand got to come out tomorrow with potentially one player down. We don't know about Jameson. He's got this back injury. And, England have the chance to creep up towards New Zealand's total. It's funny as well. You're right. England do have a fallible tail, it would seem. But with a bit of license, they say Potts. I haven't seen Potts, but I've seen him bat in the first innings at Lords, and it didn't last very long. But they say he can bat, and on this surface, who knows? He might better get away, and Broad as well. He likes to play his shots. There's still Root and Folks there, Leach to add a bit of stability or whatever. He can dig in. That there are possibilities for England on this surface, and then it'll be up to New Zealand to see what they can come up with in the third innings. And you mentioned that Adelaide Test match. That's what happened, wasn't it? The third innings was the pressure innings, and England were not able to deal with it, admittedly, against Shane Warne and the glare of an Ashes series. But I mean, there have been other Test matches where both sides got 500 in the first innings. There was a game between England and Pakistan at Headingley where England won the match. Pakistan were actually batting second, actually, in fourth, and lost the game. Nearly got up to England's 500 and lost the game in the fourth innings on another quick scoring ground. I think that's it. You do need, for a result in a with two teams getting 500, you do need a quick scoring ground, and that is what we have here. I can remember a Test match in this country where runs come so quickly. You just cannot hold the opposition, it would seem. But if you could hold some catches, I think that's the key. I think we've nine chances have gone down in the game. If you could hold some catches, then you might just be able to swing the balance between bat and ball in the game.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from, with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere, and each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
To my mind, no one yet in the match has been bowled. Everybody has been out caught.
That's right.
Has there been an LBW? No, that's right. I can't remember.
No, everyone's been caught.
So it indicates that it is a good pitch and batsmen are prepared to play their shots and catchers better be on the ready, at the ready, to take the catches. England were able to mount this big sort of assault on the New Zealand first innings because of the stability at the top provided by Alex Lees, certainly his best test score so far. And I think, again, the positivity injected into the sort of attitude of the team helped him. I think that, you know, he still looks not the finished article as a test opener. He still looks a little fallible. But I think that got the best out of him today. And then, of course, we had the Pope and Root partnership. And Root, very, very happy when Pope got his 100. For two reasons. One, obviously, for his own, for the player's own satisfaction and joy. But also, it sort of means that there's the argument of Root batting at number three is put to bed for the moment, which he is very happy about, I'm sure, because he's very content at batting at number four. And Pope, pretty good, I thought. Again, you know, some sketchiness, but we saw the talent. And we saw the flow, the fluidity, the expressive nature of his shots, the skill, the occasional Ian Bell lookalike off drive, and Root. You know, this is now the 10th 100 he's made in 22 tests since lockdown, and you know, reassessing his whole game. I thought Moeen Ali was interesting on radio today, talking about how he. Not only, as we've heard ourselves on these podcasts, him saying that he analysed all his dismissals, but also tried to approach net practice as if he was batting for 30 overs, then would pause and then go back into the net again and imagine he was batting for another 30 overs. So, you know, breaking down innings into segments, if you like, sort of understanding that at times he's lost concentration after sort of 30 overs. In the middle, and 10 test match centuries in 22 tests, which is almost the English record. Only Dennis Compton has done better with 11 centuries in 22 tests way back in the 50s. So, a remarkable performance. He's a run machine.
Yeah, 116 ball 100 as well. You know, that's going some, isn't it? I mean, that shows what the surface and what the outfield was like, but it also shows the sort of form he's in. He immaculate innings he played at Lord's, and here there was a sort of freedom about the way he was playing. It was another beautiful innings. And Ollie Pope, his first 100 north of the Thames, Yoz.
Really?
Yeah, that's right. I mean, he's got this great record, hasn't he, at the Oval? A fantastic record at the Oval. All his other hundreds have come south of the Thames. So, you know, one in Port Elizabeth. He made one out in the UAE. I think he's made one at Southampton. You know, some other ones around about the place as well. But nothing north of the Thames. I don't know the significance necessarily of that. He's only played 14 matches north of the Thames. I think that the point of that stat. The reason it was raised is because, you know, you feel that he can get runs on good surfaces, but if the ball nips a bit, if it's a bit green, I don't know, overcast, a bit damp, then, you know, he might struggle. A lot of players do. A lot of players struggle if that's the case, don't they? But
well, there's no doubt the Oval is a wonderful place to bat, and it's not a coincidence that the Surrey have more men who've made 100 hundreds, I think it's six, than any other county, Mark Ramprakash being the last one. Maybe Ollie Pope could be the next. Could he make 100 hundreds? It's starting from the basis of playing at the Oval is a good foundation, because it probably is the best pitch in the country.
Yeah, I'd be surprised if anyone else ever makes 100 hundreds, actually, because the way first-class cricket is going, you know, even this country, they're talking about reducing it from 14 first-class matches to 10 first-class matches. You know, you don't need something phenomenal to do that. And also, there's probably a sketchiness is not the right word with Ollie Pope, but there's a, you feel as a bowler, you're always in with a chance. And that was, I think that's what was so... arresting about his innings today is that the bowlers felt they were in with a chance, but you know, the ball kept disappearing to the boundary at three sixes as well. There was a stunning uppercut over deep third for six. You know, it was wonderful, exciting. It wasn't aggressive batting. I think that apart from Stokes, it wasn't aggressive. It was just full on stroke play. I think anyone who's here today at Trent Bridge would say that it wasn't whacking and slogging and trying to whack the ball out of the ground, a bit like a one day match. It was caressing and timing, and the power was in the timing really, rather than the sort of the muscling of the strokes, and a really
a wonderful invention from Root occasionally as well, even towards the end in that last over or two, on the up wide of the off stump through the offside, and then getting across his stumps and wristily flicking a ball from outside off past the bowler, a bit sort of Kevin Peterson-esque, yeah, or even Viv Richards-esque, yeah, actually, picking up, coming over to my side kind of batting. So the flair is there as well as the relentless scoring. It's wonderful to watch.
Yeah, I mean, I agree with that. Actually, I was commentating when he played that shot where he took it from outside the off stump into the onside, and I thought Viv Richards, but actually then when I watched it again, I thought, yeah, there was a bit of Peterson in that. What was it he played? Was it the Pelican shot?
The Flamingo.
The Flamingo, that was it.
It was the Flamingo shot. Yeah, the Flamingo shot for Peterson, but that was because he was on one leg.
Yeah.
And Root actually was on two legs when he played it today, but it had the same kind of effect, and it was the same wristy flick to persuade the ball wide of the bowler on his right-hand side, on the leg side.
What about New Zealand's attack, Yoz? I think they would love to have had Ajaz Patel today. There is a bit of turn there. And Bracewell got one to spin past Folkes' inside edge. It bounced over the stumps and went away for four byes. Wagner, he gives them a point of difference as well. So they had basically four right-arm pace bowlers today. You know, good ones. Southie and Bolt, they are very experienced and quality bowlers. And Jameson, he's had a very good start to his test career. I thought he's been a bit disappointing in this test match. 16 and a half overs, went off with a back injury, 0 for 66. There wasn't much of a threat when he was bowling. Bolt was the man today. I mean, this man is phenomenal, really, isn't he? I mean, he's just played a full IPL season. We didn't think he was going to play at Lords. Yeah, he played at Lords, still ran in. And, a few days later, he's back again, still running in. To me, he looked the most likely. Took three wickets. He looked the biggest threat. He's in his 30s now. Where does he get all that spring and energy? He also does a thing that most bowlers don't do anymore, or don't do at all, and that's walk back to his mark quickly. There's some sort of energy there. You must be having all that porridge and bananas. You must be listening to your podcast from the other day.
I mean, from the podcast,
porridge, bananas, and rounds of toast.
I think one thing that's helped him possibly is playing in the IPL in 40 degree heat. So when they were playing in the nets, practicing in the nets for the Rajasthan Royals, four overs in the nets, or half an hour in the nets, is like a spell of about 15 overs because it was so hot. And just actually conserving energy and not driving your body too heavily, playing IPL matches, 20 over games, four over spells or two over spells, it's not too demanding on the body. He's light on his feet. He's a sort of greyhound, isn't he? He's a springy sort of character, doesn't carry any excess weight, and I guess he's one of those people who's sort of naturally fit and just has that natural energy. He almost looks as if he bowls within himself a bit. Quite a small delivery stride, smooth run up, not huge landing at the crease, doesn't dig a great big hole. He's just got that lovely gliding method, and great to watch. I was very impressed with Michael Bracewell, the off-spinner, who's only been bowling off-spin for 2 years and had all sorts of different deliveries, had a drifter, a sort of scramble seam delivery, one that enticed the batsman Folkes to drive, and then it went through between bat and pad and just missed the stumps. I thought he held his line and length well to Joe Root. He went round the wicket to Root quite early on, tried a different angle. He varied his pace cleverly. And actually, really, real talent. And got Stokes' wicket, his first test wicket. So, if England have to make, 150, say, in the final innings, if that is the case, or 200 or something, he might be a threat, actually.
Yeah,
because he's got England have got some left-handers as well. So look out for him later in the game. And actually, him and Bolt together would work rather well because left arm over creates a bit of rough for that off-spinner aiming into that rough against right-handers.
Yeah, he didn't do too badly at all. He bowled a good arm ball to Joe Root as well that went past the outside edge, and he did pick up the wicket of Stokes. I would confidently predict if New Zealand only set England 150 that England would win the game reasonably comfortably. I think that, you know, New Zealand have to do a bit more than that. It may be that in their third innings they just, you know, to continue to put the pitch in perspective and get a decent score and just take the game away from England. But what it depends on, of course, is the nature of the lead, who's going to have the lead, whether it's going to be New Zealand or whether England are going to be able to nudge ahead and build some pressure. Cricketing logic says draw in this game, but we know that games can move much more quickly in the last couple of days. So it's all to play for. I think it's funny, isn't it? At the start of the day's play, you'd say if any team were going to win, it was going to be New Zealand. Now it looks like if any team are going to win, you'd think it'd have to be England, really, because the way the game has set up. I don't see wickets falling rapidly enough for there to be a New Zealand victory in this game. But, you know, the Lords confounded us all. You know, it was one way and then the other, and then, you know, it was huge switchbacks. So England did fall in a heap tomorrow morning, you know, lost their last five wickets for 30, and then New Zealand get a bit of a lead and press on. And they could, I suppose, possibly give England two and a bit sessions to bat, and with 300-plus runs on the board on the final day, can they bowl England out? I suppose we've seen England fallible in the past. This is still a fallible England batting lineup, despite the glorious stroke play today. And, you know, I suppose if New Zealand had taken some of their chances along the way, then they would have restricted England quite significantly. And in the same way that if England had taken their chances, they would have restricted New Zealand quite considerably. It's been a fun series, I think. And one of the reasons it's been fun so far is because the vulnerabilities of both sides as well. You know, there have been positives and there have been negatives. There have been mistakes made by both sides, which in a way you don't want perfection, do you? You want that fallibility, because that makes it far more intriguing. How do you see it? Where do you see the balance of power in the game?
Well, yeah, I mean, I think you've summed it up well. I think England are on top marginally, and they should get a lead of 50. Mm. I think they should get 600 now from this position, and then we'll see. The great advantage they've got is that the bowlers have had a day off for once, and so they can come hopefully refreshed on Monday sort of afternoon and have a go at New Zealand, and then we'll see. The pressure will be back on New Zealand. I think draw is favourite looking at the pitch, but there's an opportunity for England there, and it's fascinating to see what unfolds. If we wanted to try and predict the first test, we were unable to. Yeah. Because it ebbed and flowed so much, and I think the same applies to this one. But at the moment, you're right. I reckon the draw is favourite, but England to win, second favourite.
How much of an influence do you think Jack Leach could be in the third innings? You mentioned Bracewell. We talked quite a lot about Jack Leach during this test match. Is there a little opportunity for him? I mean, we're not talking about a raging Turner, but there's enough to work with for a spin bowl on this dry. So it was again another windy day. So you think that, you know, the pitch should be drying out all the time. It started quite dry. I just wonder whether it might just be Leach, possibly even Root might get involved in New Zealand's third innings. I suppose the key would be a couple of early wickets with the new ball when New Zealand bat again, and that would just build the pressure and squeeze New Zealand a bit. So what about Leach in the third innings? Is it a big...
You know, I think we'll find out. Yeah, I mean, I think we'll find out on Monday how good a bowler Leach is or could be by whether he does have an impact, because there's something there. And if England can take a couple of early wickets, then apply the Leach kind of effect on New Zealand, it's up to him to see if he can conjure some wickets and put New Zealand under pressure. So a big opportunity, I think, for him. You know, he is still learning his game, and he's not clearly not the finished article, despite being in the county game for some years. You know, he hasn't bowled that many overs, but let's see if he can grab that opportunity, which England certainly did with the bat today. It's going to be their scope to see if they can grab the opportunity with the ball on the fourth day. And we'll be back at the end of it to tell you how they did.
Yep, we will indeed. What we don't want, I think, is a sort of dull fifth day where there's nothing on the game. It doesn't happen very often in England. Let's hope not. Let's hope there's still some real interest and intrigue in this test match on the fifth day. Thanks very much for listening. We'll be back with you soon. Goodbye for now.
Podcast Network.
Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry, we were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right, ChumbaCasino.com has over 100 casino style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.